Welcome to Move Wild Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Clapson. The aim of this podcast is to explore, learn, and spread the message of rewilding and natural movement so that we as humans can live in more alignment with our nature and reclaim what it means to be fully alive. The modern world has stripped away so much that used to nourish our mind, body, and soul. This podcast will help illuminate how we can reclaim and restore our innate, wild, capable, and strong spirit. Thanks for joining me on this journey. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Move Wild Podcast. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. So today I have a great conversation lined up for you all. But before I get into that, I wanted to let you all know that I have opened up access to a 6-week health coaching program that's going to be limited to 10 participants. This is going to go through all the key concepts and principles and practices that I talk about and write about in my new book. And it's going to be in depth, covering all these principles and practices. You're going to have access to a little private community, access to one-on-one coaching with me where I guide you through the specifics of, you know, reclaiming vitality and ancestral health and looking at health through an ancestral lens, and really work on your specific goals and help you guys to achieve your results and get ahead and feel alive and feel like you have vibrant health. So I wanted to let you guys know about that 6-week program. And again, it's limited to 10 participants. So if you're keen on jumping on that, then head over to my Instagram account at @move_wild, and the link should be there in the bio. So on to today's show. So today I have the pleasure of sharing a conversation I recorded with Kellen Mylad. So Kellen is a movement coach and content creator. He advocates for a holistic and integrated approach to fitness. He focuses on bringing play, creativity, and awareness to movement for sustainable fitness and a strong mental health. He offers free workouts and training tips on his YouTube channel, Movement Parallels Life. This was an epic conversation. I was stoked to get Kellen on, and I'm really looking forward to what you guys think of the show. So let's jump into it. You can catch me on the other side for how you can connect with me.
So welcome, Kellen. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So to start with, I'd like to get a little bit of your backstory and your journey and how you got into what you do today, and if you could kind of break down and describe to people what you do today as well, that'd be great.
Yeah. My background is actually in psychology. I was always growing up, grew up an only child, always really fascinated by just how people behave. Maybe because I didn't have siblings to kind of figure it out with or from. But I was really into psychology, and I studied that in university. And I always kind of felt compelled to help people, and felt that supporting them, coaching them, listening, and giving advice where applicable was always a strength of mine. And so psychology really fit in some ways, but then it also didn't fit in some other ways. One of the big issues there was just not being sure that I could spend my career doing talk therapy, sitting in a chair, or even, you know, kind of helping some people manage some of their mental health issues from a sedentary type of position. And not even to mention the world of like pharmaceuticals and things like that. So I pivoted to the fitness industry. Because I've always been into movement, and working out, fitness has always played a role in my life. And I thought it'd be a really good, a good way to help empower people and just show up and help in a more tangible way. So went through, started to get acclimated to the fitness industry, and, you know, kind of figured out that, oh, wow, there are some, this isn't a perfect industry or world either. over the years, it just kind of came to realize, like, all right, like, I'm going to really try to blend together my background in psychology with this passion for movements. And it's going to take some time to figure out where the good information is and exactly what my message is. But, you know, I've been doing that for a long time now, a little bit over 10 years. And, you know, that's kind of brought me to where I am now, which is focusing on holistic fitness, emphasizing movements and, you know, getting people to connect back to moving their body in natural ways and more diverse and playful ways, and really get people to start to redefine health and fitness on their own terms rather than, you know, just kind of what's out there in the mainstream or what the status quo is. So maybe we'll get into that later, but basically just trying to help people find a new spin on fitness that allows them to be happy, healthy individuals and do that for a lifetime.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'd love to go into a little bit more about kind of how you define what that paradigm is, like shifting that paradigm towards, I guess, movement and what you do today, and why traditional fitness maybe isn't working for a lot of people, and why you think it's important that maybe people start to shift their perspective on movement and fitness and start to adopt something that, as you said, is more holistic and more natural.
Yeah. So I mentioned, you know, I said that I've always loved movement, and that dates back to childhood. And around in my teenage years, it started shifting towards a focus on athletics and more like formal exercise. So I kind of got acclimated into that. And that exercise model to me is framing fitness in a way that's very structured, that is very focused on exercise, in that movements have an exact form and exercise takes place in a specific place at designated times. It's very much focused on comparisons before and after or between individuals. It's very heavy on like competition, whether it be for athletics or even if it's just like a self competition. And it's really fitness, I think, really drives us to specialize in something, like set a goal and, you know, and pursue that goal. So specific and goal oriented. And, you know, I looking back to my experiences in childhood and growing up, I was like, wow, movement was so much more open. It was a different experience. And why can't we start to bring that into the fold now? And it's not to say that all those things associated with traditional exercise are wrong or bad, but they kind of dominate the conversation. And in doing so, we miss out on this whole other end of the spectrum. And to me, that's what movement represents, a different side of the story, where instead of like a rigid structure, we have a little bit more of a flexible structure, or more room to explore and be playful and be open with movement. Instead of having exact exercises and exact form, there's more gray area. That movement comes down to context a lot of times and practical ability. Movement is also very much, in my mind, an opportunity to be more, tap into your creativity and your self-expression. And it's just more general. It's when we're getting back to universal human movements, it doesn't have to be so narrowly specialized. But we can open things up and move in all these different ways, the ways that we are strong in and the ways that, you know, maybe we're not so strong in, but we can embrace all of that as, I guess, just a way to honor the human body and all that we can do, and to be as, you know, physically, you know, sound and competent as possible. So again, when you have these two paradigms it creates a full spectrum in my mind, where it, instead of just the only the traditional fitness options, you've got a fuller spectrum to work from. And from that psychological perspective, I think that's much healthier and more balanced. And from a physiological standpoint, it allows you to redefine fitness and explore it in a different way.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I really resonate with the idea that, you know, a lot of traditional fitness is very much dependent on like a certain structure, and it's also dependent on a certain place. Like a lot of people just go to the gym to move, or just go to this certain place to move, and they only do it within this 1 hour block or however long they're going to be training for. And I really love that shift in perspective on like changing the place that you move in, changing the environment, not necessarily seeing it as like you have to move for a certain amount of time, but like taking the opportunity to move if you're in a certain environment. And I'd like to get your thoughts on kind of how much of the kind of role environment plays in the way that it shapes us and the way that we look at the world and how our, you know, physical capability is developed. And yeah, just the role that environment plays in training.
Yeah, when you start to branch out beyond the gym, if the gym is the only place that you really move your body and express yourself physically, it's a great space, but that's very limiting. So when you start to take advantage of all the opportunities for movement within the environment, it opens things up. So I think where a lot of people have questions is just like, I don't have time to fit this into my life. I'm so busy. That's really the advantage of being able to bring movement into your environment, is that, even if you don't have time for the gym, that you can still find these unique and novel ways to move your body, and doing that within your environments is actually a huge asset instead of, there's a lot of value there. Rather than just always moving in the same kind of manufactured space like a gym. So it fits into your lifestyle better, and it offers you the natural environment offers you different input, which changes your movements, which just has an impact on, you know, this whole idea of, you know, building your movement practice.
Yeah, that's cool. So I'd like to shift now and kind of talk about like your business and your brand. Your business is called Movement Parallels Life, and I'd like to get I'd like you to share, you know, why you decided to name it that. What does that mean to you, and how does movement transfer across into other areas of life?
Yeah. Again, you know, with my background in psychology, everything is about the process, you know, looking at the processes behind the things that are going on in our life. So that's kind of the background that I was bringing to training. And I found that once I started to get outside beyond the gym, once I started to open things up in movement and stop making it so goal oriented, but make it a little bit more process oriented, then all of a sudden it was like, wow, the things that I'm working on in my practice and in my fitness are also showing up in other areas of my life, you know, kind of my strengths and my weaknesses. They're being illustrated in my training. Or highlighted in my training, but it's also, you know, stuff that is very relevant to my everyday life. So I just said that, you know, I was using movement as a way to learn about myself. And I guess a prime example of this would be maybe getting overly competitive or overly focused on my fitness goals, or maybe an over identification with like the physical aspects of fitness, and, you know, and then starting to realize like how that rigid, that same rigidity is kind of carrying over into some of my, you know, my academic life, studying, how I'm approaching work. And that's just one of like a vague example of many, but basically the idea is that, wow, with training, it's not just the body, but we have an opportunity to really continue to drive our own personal growth and development through the ways that we're moving and the ways that the things that we're working on.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I love the shift in like thinking of it as like a process and seeing that how that process can just play out in different areas of your life, or just seeing that different areas of your life require a process just as they do with training. It's really cool. So I'd like to kind of get a little bit of your thoughts on balancing training and movement and kind of, I guess, in a way, stress to the body with recovery and how you do that in your life and what do you think is a good balance? Because this is one that I think a lot of people struggle with. I've definitely struggled with it in the past, like overtraining or not knowing how much, to, you know, how to balance training and recovery. So I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah. It's, I think it all comes back to your kind of as an intuition, or what I'll often talk about is your self relationship, your relationship you have with your body. And if, yeah, I often frame this as actually by saying like, you think of it as you are literally in a relationship with your body. And as we all know, relationships require a give and take. So if you have a friendship or a romantic relationship and, you know, just one person is putting in the effort, or one person is just, you know, being very demanding, but not upholding their end of it, then the relationship is usually pretty rocky, or it comes to an end. The best relationships have a give and take, where, you know, we're expressing what we need and we're also looking out for the needs of the other person. So if you apply that to thinking about like your body, your in your brain, you have an agenda. Maybe you have some goals, you have some things, some changes you would like to see, or you have some skills that you want to accomplish. And that's the agenda of your brain. And I think from that, purely from that traditional model, it's, you know, kind of, we're using willpower and discipline, and the brain is kind of trying to, you know, get its agenda met by any means necessary. And to me, the movement perspective is about, you know, considering what does your body need first, that before you can pursue those fitness goals, can you make sure that you are, you're taking care of your body, and how can you take care of your body? So the role of recovery, I think, really comes front and center. Understanding that if you want to explore all these different ways of moving and you want to make it part of your lifestyle, that you can't be going 100 all the time. You can't hit it hard with every workout. That recovery is a huge part of it. And basically, I think it's a slow process of being able to understand how your body adapts and really learn to listen to your body. Because ultimately, as we age, the balance and our recovery time, it changes. So we have all these different factors, these variables in the mix. Hydration and nutrition, how much sleep you're getting and the quality of sleep, your hormonal status, your stress levels, and how, you know, what's going on in the rest of your life. So all of these things and more play into how much rest and recovery we need. If we're always on the agenda of our goals and, you know, trying to push ahead to get shit done and always be productive, then eventually our body's going to give out and we're going to have an injury, or we're going to be exhausted, or performance is going to tank. So this is, in my mind, a process of strengthening that relationship with your body. So you can listen, you can understand when it's appropriate to work hard and push ahead, and when it's appropriate to scale back and rest, and understand that it's not black and white, one or zero. There's a gradient in there, and figuring out on any given day for any given workout, what's the intensity level and the volume and the activity, the type of movement that you need that's in the best interest of that relationship.
Yeah, that's great. I love that so much. I really love, listening and just developing that kind of intuition. And it takes a while for many people. It's definitely taken a while for me, because I think like we've grown up, or we've been conditioned for a very structured kind of way of looking at training and recovery, and we don't necessarily take into account all those different elements, as you mentioned, that are going to come into play. And that's where the listening comes in, because it's like, you know, we just don't know, depending on our context or depending on our situation, you know, how much we're going to need to recover or how much we want to train. And that, you know, that's just all up to intuition. But I think I'm very used to a model of kind of quite structured recovery and structured training. And it's hard to implement that intuition and listening elements when you come from that model, but it's really, really powerful and really effective.
Yeah. I truly believe that everyone, that's part of what it means to be human and part of the human experience. But often we assume what is natural, I guess, will just be there for us or will be automatic. And I don't think that's the case with this topic. When it comes to developing this self-relationship and growing this intuition, it takes time. It takes you've got to put the work in. So basically, like, that's input or data points, and then you've got to spend time processing that information to figure out. So you know, this is really a process that's continuing to unfold. And the thing is, if we don't bring it into the conversation, we can't improve it. We can't grow our awareness unless we, you know, bring some attention to the value there. If we're always just looking at a program and adhering to the sets and reps and the exact form and all those constraints around the program, we're getting the guidance, and it maybe will get us to a goal faster. However, on the back end of it, we don't necessarily reap the benefits of, you know, really being an active part of the process, tweaking the variables and gaining a greater understanding of our own body and our own physical experience. So again, it's a balance for everyone, and different phases of life, different seasons of life, feature those different perspectives in different ways.
Yeah, I love that. I'd like to touch on a little bit of your thoughts on play and why you think it's such an important element of training. I know that you emphasize it in a lot of the content that you put out. And why do you think it's important for people to incorporate into their training?
Oh, wow. In so many ways. I'll approach it from the standpoint of just training first, and then maybe get a little broader. But in terms of training, play to me really embodies what we're talking about with this movement paradigm, bringing an element of creativity and expressiveness and joy to training. I think a lot of times we think that if it's fun, it's not effective or not productive, and it couldn't be. It's just not the case. Like it can definitely be fun. And I would argue that play is such a powerful vehicle for learning, that when we're playing, we're engaged mentally. And we have the opportunity to really be, present in our body and in the experience of whatever we're doing. So, I think play is really powerful to, drive that learning. And to me, the number one most important factor in all of this is consistency. Being able to find a way to bring movement and fitness into your life for the long haul. So if it's always willpower and discipline and you're always waiting to be, you know, you got to have your motivation high to train, then it's just unreasonable. You can't sustain that for years on end. So you've got to find a way to ease in and find a way to make things interesting and fun. So that's, again, where play comes into the mix. And if you can let go of some of the need to have a perfectly designed workout with just the perfect sets and reps and exercise selection, if you can just ease up on some of that and just commit to, all right, well, like, I don't feel like going through that set program today, but I am going to take 30, 45 minutes to move my body. And I'm going to do, you know, a little bit of groundwork, a little bit of hanging, a little bit of lifting, and I'll just see where it goes. And I'm just going to commit to 45 minutes and have fun with it. So if you start to open things up and allow the experience or the workout to be a little bit more playful, it makes it easier to continue to show up and keep working on these things for an extended period of time. And when you can do that, when you can be consistent, it's absolutely incredible how much progress you can make. You know, just a little, you're just moving the needle like a centimeter per workout, less than that, but you compile that over years and you cover tremendous distance.
Yeah, I love that. And it is all about that consistency and that sustainability, because if you enjoy it, then you will keep coming back to it. And I definitely resonate with that. I know that, you know, looking back at different times in my past when it has been very much, you know, a force of discipline and willpower to drive myself into each workout, I'm just less likely to do it whenever I'm not feeling quite up to that level of motivation. Whereas when I look at it, as you say, through that playful mindset of like, oh, maybe I'll just do 45 minutes of movement today, then I'm going to enjoy it much more and I'm much more likely to do it on a daily basis and much more likely to build up that consistency.
Yeah. From the bigger picture to me is that it's very simple. Life is stressful. we all know this in 2020. Life is stressful. So the messages that we get are to constantly be working. At least in my experience, in all facets, in fitness, in school, in work, it's this constant grind of keep working to keep producing things, and keep going at all costs. I get that to some extent, but if that message isn't balanced out by rest and take some time to play or to simply do things that you enjoy for the sake of doing them, and that there is tremendous value there for your recovery and for your ability to keep working, to keep grinding towards your goals, to keep pushing for the long haul. So I think that play is something very important, because I don't think that most of us make enough time to engage in things that aren't considered productive. We feel guilty for not being productive. So once you start incorporating play into your life, and that's vague. Any really, like, it's a mindset. Anything can be play. But if you start physically playing again, you start understanding what that mindset is and what are the conditions that and the environment that drives that mindset and allows it to flourish. And the more you do it, the more you see that it does have value. It is something that helps you show up and continue to be the best version of yourself. So that we can't always be on, we can't always be doing, but there's so much value in that state of joyful being. So that's the bigger, kind of the bigger lesson behind it. Again, movement parallels life.
Yeah, that's great. And I really love that about play. And also I find that in myself, it definitely encourages a lot of kind of thinking outside of the box and thinking more adaptively to problems that I am trying to solve through that more like structured and focused work. And when I come out of that and step out of that and like adopt that playful mindset, as you say, I can see things at a different angle and I am able to be creative and adaptable when it comes to solving those bigger problems.
That's such a great point. That's so great. And I say that the point, I encourage an open movement practice because I say that it allows you to experience yourself in a multitude of ways. So I think the tendency for a lot of people is that that idea of specialization, or we start to identify with certain things that we're recognized for. You know, if you're a strong guy, like you identify with being strong, and maybe then you approach everything with brute force. Or if you're someone who's a little bit more, you know, relaxed and bendy and super chill, that becomes your operating mode. But to be able to embrace the fact that we're all we're all multifaceted, complex individuals. We all have different sides to us. And yes, we're going to have certain inclinations and preferences, but to be able to tap in and access all of your humanity, I think that's really important. And just like you said, it's an opportunity to try a different strategy. If you're always taking things head on, you know, look for a different opportunity. If if you're not being direct enough, maybe like develop that strength and that assertiveness to take things head on once in a while. And the more you can cultivate those different strategies, I think the more well-rounded as a person you become, the more you're able to adapt to the ebbs and flows of life and work and relationships.
Yeah, it's so interesting and so important, like developing that well-roundedness and like, being able to kind of embrace being a generalist rather than a specialist, I guess. I really love that. So I'd like to kind of touch on, you put out a lot of content and you're very generous with the amount of content that you put out, and it's phenomenal content. And I highly recommend anyone listening go and check it out. And I'd like to kind of get your take on what inspires you to put out content and what inspires you to coach and what like keeps you inspired to keep doing this and helping people through your coaching?
I guess the initial drive has always been to help people, to support people in breaking free from some of the limitations of kind of the mainstream story that we're given around health and fitness. I want to help empower people and let them know that you have the capacity to figure it out. Spend some time with the stuff that you're working on, and you don't always need the answers. You don't need the answers fed to you, and the answers likely exist within you rather than from outside you. So that always drives my teaching. But I also quickly came to recognize that teaching was a really powerful way to grow my own practice and deepen my own understanding. It's interesting to be in this space because people view fitness a certain way. And if you want to do something different in this industry, then if you want to challenge that story that exists, then you got to put yourself out there different ways. And you've got to figure out how to effectively meet people where they are and start to help them create some space to create a different story. So that's what my content is about. I don't believe in within any method or any approach. I feel that it's on the individual to take what's useful from that approach, challenge or discard what's not relevant or useful to them, and to integrate that material into their own thing. So it's never just like, it's never just doing the thing, doing CrossFit, doing yoga, doing natural movement, doing animal flow, but it's taking and immersing yourself in these different ways of moving and assimilate them, integrate them into your own value system and what feels right. So that's the approach that I take. I share what I do on the movement side of things through follow along guided movement practices and just, you know, shorter content to just say, hey, like, this is what I'm doing in my movement practice. This is what it means to me. And, you know, I put that out there, not to say that this is the way, but to say that this is a way, and to encourage people to keep exploring and keep building their own practice and building a practice that supports them, supports their health, and just makes them happy. Take what you need from what I'm throwing out there and keep going, keep building.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And I love, yeah, not being tied too much to one method, but taking from all of them and making it your own. I really love that concept. So we'll start to wrap up here. Is there anything else that you wanted to touch on before we finish?
I guess if you know, I've been thinking a lot about, like, what does this all boil down to? We could talk about the implications of movements, and we could talk about the details of training, you know, for hours. But I know that can be overwhelming. And to me, it's like, well, what does it come down to? And I think it's, if you can understand that difference between the traditional, like, exercise paradigm and what movement brings to the table, and understand that neither is good or bad, better or worse than the other, but together they create a fuller picture of what health and fitness can be. So I'd really just like to, you know, emphasize that and encourage people to keep exploring and keep building something that works for them. And if you need a place to start, you can follow along with, you know, some of my videos, follow me on YouTube. I have tons of resources there, but if you can just set aside 30 minutes a day for a generalized movement practice, I'm not talking about a workout. I'm just talking about a chance for you to work on that relationship with your body by going through some fun, creative, playful movements. Then that's the habit. That's the 30 minutes a day, maybe 15 minutes in the morning or 15 in the evening, or all in one shot. But if you can commit to that and you can get into that habit, that to me is kind of the turnkey that really starts to create change, progress over time, and start to open things up and help this all, the big picture, come into focus.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. That's a great point to finish on. So lastly, I know you mentioned your YouTube channel, but how can people connect with you and follow along with your stuff on your different social media platforms?
Yeah, the three big places for me are YouTube. The channel name again is Movement Parallels Life. I'm pretty active on Instagram. That's a great community there and a great space to share ideas. Again, Movement Parallels Life, and my Playbook channel. So I use an app called Playbook, and on that app I'm able to host my programs and some of my, like, premium content, follow along in-depth practices. So people who are interested in really diving in and want to know what Movement Parallels Life is all about, can head over to check out the Playbook app and you know, just kind of start chipping away, get my programs and my guided classes, and start, you know, like I said, start adding on to your own practice.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, my girlfriend just got the app the other day and she's loving it. So I highly recommend people check that out. And I'll put a link to all those resources in the show notes. Yeah, really awesome. She said to give thanks for all the content that you put out there. So again, yeah, thank you so much, Kellen, for coming on the show and for sharing your knowledge with us and sharing your time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for the opportunity.
All right. Thank you all so much for tuning in to today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did get value out of it, then what you can do to help me and share the message is take a screenshot of this episode and share it on whatever social media platform you use and tag myself and tag Kellen. Let us know what you thought of today's show. We really appreciate hearing your thoughts on that. As I mentioned in the show, all the links to connect with Kellen are going to be in the show notes, so you guys can go out and check out some of his stuff. I highly recommend doing that. He's got some epic content out on YouTube and on Instagram, and also on his app, the Playbook app, where I have subscribed and do some of his workouts, and they're phenomenal. I'm really, really loving them. So make sure you go out and check out his stuff. And also, if you want to connect with me, then all the links to do so are in the show notes. Thank you all again so much for tuning into today's episode, and I'll catch you on the next episode of Move Well Podcast, coming out on Friday.